pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, my fellow patriots, and welcome to episode 5. Today, we are going to talk about some disaster scenarios and some of the essential skills to develop in order to adapt and survive. Be sure to chime in with your knowledge and experience. Just email us at podteam@theconstitutioncommandos.org. I'm your host, Chris Williams. My brother Patrick is your co-host, and we are the Constitution Commandos.
We try to keep the confusion down about what we're saying, so there's a lot of misunderstanding maybe there. But just to be clear, when this time comes where you have to live off the land, as we're talking about after an EMP, if you have weapons, you want to use that as little as possible, simply because, first of all, unless you can replace the ammo that you just spent, you're just going to be out of ammo. But at the same time, firearms give away your position faster than anything else. Anything that makes noise will give away your position. But you want to save your firearms for those times when you've got multiple attackers, simply because you're probably going to miss a few rounds. Hopefully not. Hopefully you're well-trained, practiced, whatever. But you don't want to use your firearms unless it's absolutely necessary. Get used to using primitive weapons.
Yeah, don't think I won't use a firearm if I have to eat. But
absolutely,
I guarantee you it'll be a one bullet, one kill thing.
Now, if you think rounds are expensive now, try to get them when that EMP hits. And when the barter system becomes a real big trading issue, you're going to find out chapstick is going to be very valuable one day. Don't waste your rounds at all. They will be necessary.
And then on top of that, things you can do right now. Let's say there are no matches. There are no lighters because there is a limited amount of gas in your lighter, and there is a limited amount of matches in a box.
Hold on now. So, we actually went in the woods one day.
But we were dealing with wet brush, and we were doing.
And you know what? We need to do that again.
Yes, we do. And you can do this in your backyard. You can do this. Do it in a steel pot on your back porch if you live in an apartment. You can learn how to make a fire without the use of matches and lighters. And I'm going to be honest with you. I used to be a welder. Believe me, you do not want to have a Bic lighter blow up on you. And if somebody attacks you or anything like that, those are miniature bombs. I am opposed to Bic lighters. There are a lot of survivalists out there that say they'll carry 30 of them. But if I carry 30 of them, they're not going to be near my body. I can tell you that right now.
Look, if you're a crackhead, you don't want to use those lighters. I'm just saying. But yeah, you're right. Now, the day that we went out and hit the woods when those leaves were
wet.
With
a different method.
That's a good example of what we were talking about earlier. Because whatever's uncomfortable.
Oh, and we got our birds. We'd get our burgers started, but it was smoking so bad we couldn't keep it going.
It wouldn't catch, but that's something that is uncomfortable.
Like 3 or 4 little bitty 2-inch flames.
Right.
Absolutely.
But it's something that's uncomfortable. Oh, I'm going to try that again, and I'm going to keep trying it until I figure it out. And that day we both had lighters on us. We could have very easily struck a lighter, but What good would our practicing be if we pulled a lighter out? It's cheating, isn't it?
It's easy, and even if you carry a Zippo, you're going to run out of fluid.
You're going to run out of fluid.
One day you're going to have to know how to start a fire.
Exactly.
So learn how to do it without the use of modern tools, other than a parasite rod.
Which is what we talked about earlier. If it's uncomfortable,
practice these things.
If you find something that's uncomfortable, and you will if you're paying attention, get good at it.
Expose yourself to it.
And that
it will be a benefit for you in the long run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We had struggles with that day, but there was something else too.
You got a little turnaround on, you got us back to the vehicle, but the land nav aspect, you got a little bit turned around on the last
6 to 10 feet off, I think, on the return trip. Which is really not big footprint. Enough of an area to be that much off, to be honest.
Yeah, but so, if you miss it by 10 feet, though, and you walk for a mile and a half, you're going to be way more than 10 feet off.
That's what I'm saying. No more distance than we walked. I was way off. I wasn't even in the ballpark. Yeah, that's something I need to practice on for sure. And Boy Scouts, we did that kind of stuff in Boy Scouts. It's something. These are perishable knowledges, but these are things that are imperative, really, in the form of survival. It is. Knowing your personal dwelling, if you don't know that, don't even get outside your dwelling because you're lost. It is critical to know where you are and know what's around you. And that was something that I learned when the racing deal was going on with Dad. How many times did I hear Tommy Martin tell Dad, you're not going to be able to look in that mirror all the time, but you need to know where every driver on the track is. And you've done enough driving. You're not going to see every driver on the track. But if you don't have a sense of where they are, you're going to cause problems for you and them. Situational awareness is extremely critical.
And an EMP is going to be on the far end of the spectrum of SATF moment.
But it's not something that's out of consideration.
It's another thing that you have to consider on these things is if an EMP does have, don't just know how to shoot an animal. You have to know how to clean the animal. You have to know how to purify water. Water purification is going to be one of the most important skills that you'll ever have in these bad situations.
Now, a lot of people would think just iodine, but if you can't get your hands on iodine, what are you going to do?
That's correct. And not everybody's going to have a life straw. And if you do have life straws, they're going to wind up surpassing their filtration capabilities at some point.
It's about 300 gallons. Yeah, but they're different rated is what I'm pointing. Look, the bottom line is they're going to wear out. What are you doing? Yeah. You got no iodine, no filtration straws, no filtration equipment. What are you going to do?
Yeah, charcoal and sand, man, that'll filter any kind of water out with pea gravel. But learn these skills before these skills are required. Learn them. If you've only started three fires in a primitive manner and shit hits the fan, you're going to be better off than that person that has never started a fire. So
the evasion instructor was talking about on the video you sent me? He said the key to evasion is keeping your heart rate down.
Absolutely. Keep yourself from making bad decisions.
And if you don't know any of this stuff, you're going to panic. That's all there is.
Panic is a killer.
Absolutely. I got to see that. I've been wanting to see it. Go ahead.
You ought to link that video that I told you about.
You're talking about the survival video?
The evasion. You ought to link this video, and I apologize. I cannot recall the man's name. Shout out for him, but you ought to link it to this video.
I hadn't even watched that one yet, so I will. Yeah, the first one I think is very key. Now, based on where we grew up, and we had woods.
We lived in the woods.
Right. And so that kind of stuff that we saw on that video you sent me, that's pretty common for us. Maybe not to other people. But the urban video, I would really like to see. As a matter of fact, when we get done here, I'm going to go watch that video.
I would like to shout the guy out. I wish I could remember his name. I think if you look at the,
I'll put it up.
Like I said, you need to pin it. You need to stick it to this video. And anybody, I would advise you to watch it. A lot of it is common sense, but a lot of it is common sense stuff that the average person has never thought of. And that would be very good lessons to learn and to exercise and practice on. In case of an EMP, it would be worth its weight in gold. And
it really is. Even if you already know a lot of what he's talking about, it really is worthwhile.
Yeah. And his urban environment, I learned about 85% of it in that video. I learned about 85% of it I didn't know. And his second one that I watched, I knew about 95% of what he said, but there was 5% that I didn't know, and I'll be damned. I am glad I watched it because I learned 5% more. I just have to get out and exercise it.
Are you trying to say that you know everything?
I'll be the first to tell you I don't know everything.
I don't know why people think I got to know everything. So I say, oh, you're so right. And I was like, why do I have to be right? I don't really care much for being right these days. Just don't like it. But yeah, I don't. As a matter of fact, you were in the 80s. I was just a poor old squid. The bottom line is, you got a training that I always wanted. When I signed up for the Navy, you already know I signed up to be a SEAL. And unfortunately,
I got more training than a lot of average 82nd Airborne
oh,
people
you got
got
a lot of
too.
training and a lot of average soldiers didn't get, period.
Yeah, unless you're talking about Rangers or SF, somebody in the teams.
No, just
there
as
was
an
a lot
82nd
of.
Airborne Trooper, you
Yeah.
got things that a lot of people did not get. And just to be fair, for those who are listening, you were gung-ho about being a Ranger when you went in. Ranger, I knew you were trying to go Ranger.
An
Thought
Airborne Ranger
SF
and
was
SF
what
in my
you were
contract.
really, yeah, SF was what you were really looking for. Just because
Yeah.
I talk to a lot of people now that say, look, I wanted to go in the military, but because I had broken both the bones in my right leg, I couldn't go. I was like, that doesn't make you any less patriot, right? And I actually learned that from Chris Kyle,
Yeah.
because you know what Chris Kyle did. And I look up to people like that because they did what I wanted to do. But even he said, look, 180 days consecutive on active duty, Europe. And I actually had a commander who sat me down and had a conversation with me because I was down about my job, and he wanted to give me some insight on how important my job was to the bigger picture. And because of people like that,
Yeah.
I'm able to say this now. There's a lot of people I know who wanted to be in the military that could not, for whatever reason, something outside their control, that could not be in the military. I wanted to do what you did. I went in on the pretense that I would still be able to do that, and I didn't get to do that still. But you know what I mean? You don't have to be in those certain positions. It's good to know people in those positions, because there are still people who have those skills that have been trained in certain ways that can help you out or whatever. Not
Well,
all of us were cut out for that.
that's why I'm also excited about us changing formats about our topics of conversation, because I want to get more engagement from the audience. I know there are people with a higher level of training than what I've got. I am proud of the training that I've got. I understand the importance of the training that I've got. I also am more than aware that there are people in the listening audience that have more training. Even if they don't have more training, they might have more experience in a different environment than me. And everybody has some knowledge that I will benefit from. So I do, with this topic of conversation, which this is, I'm hoping to be our future of podcast, is going to be somehow surviving life in a SHTF situation. I am looking forward to receiving input from other people and other skill sets and other environments, because I don't know tomorrow. I don't know what my next environment is going to be. I can prepare for the environment that I am in. The first thing people need to understand and accept is you need to come to terms with you do not know what you do not know. That
That's
is
right.
Me, 100%. I have no clue what I don't know, and I want feedback. I'm not here to criticize people. I'm here to put out information to help people.
That's
so if
right.
somebody wants to comment and offer useful knowledge, I could care less about it.
I don't
shit.
Care about that. But then again, I would like to know if I'm a little off footing or whatever. I don't mind a little constructive criticism. As a matter of fact, I begged for it as a musician, and a lot of people said, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I was like, you just did. You said what I was trying to say better than I said it. But I think for both of us, and I think I speak for both of us when I say this, it's not just about hearing from people who know things that we don't know. I think a lot of it, for me anyway, is building community now. We need to establish community. We need to get this division from between us. We're Americans. Let's build community. Let's be American. That's what's important to me.
Yeah, and that's actually the primary building block, because I guarantee you, if things go bad, and let's say you're not in a position, whether it be physically or prepared with a weapon and munitions, let's say you don't have the food or the water stockpiled, you don't have a way to bug out. You know what? You have just cut your nose off to spite your face.
That's right.
You have just gotten yourself into a position to where you have no primary, alternate, contingency, or
nothing.
You have gotten yourself into a bad position already. That's the building block. Now, I know and understand that ultimately you're going to be able to depend on yourself, but the more people that you can depend on, the better you're going to be and the better they're going to be. I would never underwrite or minimize the importance of community. It is important. At some point, community is going to happen, and it would be a whole lot easier to get a community early than late.
Yeah, you're right, because if you wait until you have to have it, you're scrambling, and you may think you know what you're scrambling for. Your brain is blitzed. You don't know what you're looking for. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, it goes back to you don't know what you don't know.
That's right.
And
no matter how much you know, you still don't know it all.
But that's why I like the direction that we're going now. I really am looking forward to getting feedback. I research all the time, even with my experience. Man, I run into things that, hey, I either didn't know or I forgot, or it goes in line with what I do know, but it approaches it from a different perspective. And it
gives
me
an aha moment.
It gives me a different way of conducting a task that I'm already familiar with.
That's right.
And hey, and once again, that goes back to environments. Today, I can prepare for my current environment. My environment might change. If it's
might
an
be
environment
in Arizona
I'm not
next
used
month.
To, yeah, if it's an environment, which I do have a lot of training in the desert. So if I do, and mountain areas. So
okay,
if I run into an environment that I'm not familiar with, and somebody on here has knowledge of an environment that I'm not familiar with, man, there's no way in the world I'll reject it, because that is the difference between me staying alive or dying. I enjoy life. That's why
do
I want an airborne.
You live like a freaking American?
Yeah, but that's why I joined airborne. And I wanted Rangers, Special Forces, and had those in my contract. Mm-hmm. The simple fact of the matter for me back then was I am joining an organization that is based on war. That's what it exists for, is war. The mm-hmm. defense of our nation. People die. I knew that once you got tabs on your shoulder, you were learning more than the average soldier. So I didn't want to just learn what it took to be airborne. I wanted to know what it took to be Ranger and get that training. And then I wanted to be Special Forces and to acquire a whole nother level of training.
Now, wait a minute. You sound like you're talking about being that one guy amongst a few who actually want to live long enough to protect
to my
those
family.
Who can't. What's
wrong
with you?
Absolutely, man. Strong will to survive. That's what's wrong with me.
And that concludes today's episode, and we appreciate you listening in. And more than that, we love getting your input about our discussion, so drop us an email at podteam@theconstitutioncommandos.org. Hey, keep your eyes open and your head on swivel till next time. I'm Chris Williams, and on behalf of my brother and myself, we are the Constitution Commandos, and we're signing off.